Welcome to the show, Philip. It's an honor to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. Can you tell us a bit about your career journey? So how did you land in Sartorius and how did you become a new customer acquisition specialist?
Of course. Thank you for giving me the platform to share about my career choices. Basically, I started off the biotechnical chemistry kind of field when I did my bachelor's.
Mm-hmm.
During that time, I realized that biochemistry isn't the real, like, really a fit for me because I didn't want to stay in the lab all day and do my PhD. Mm-hmm. And I also didn't see the growth potential of the industry. So I decided for my master's to go ahead and study biotechnology,
mm-hmm.
which I did in Berlin. And during that time, I connected with some biotechnology students from my class. And we were out drinking and meeting like this network organization called BTS.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, when I was connecting with them and having a few beers, someone approached me and was like, "Hey, you seem quite open and you also like to drink beer. How would you feel if I propose you a student sales job?" And I was like, "Sounds fun. Like, I'm always open. Why don't I try it out?" Fast forward, I met with Hardy Weber in Berlin and we had a job interview. And during that time, I fell in love with that position that I was interviewing for. Mm-hmm. And I got that position. And I stayed in that position for around about 2.5 years, where I was an academy student in Berlin. And after my master thesis, my new manager, Dagmar, proposed a new customer acquisition job to me and convinced me how potential and like potent that job is and the influence you can have. And basically driving certain territories and also developing them kind of caught me. And this is why I ended up where I'm here now.
That sounds so interesting. It sounds like you were going with the flow and learning along the way. You seem to have landed a really amazing position. So what are really your primary responsibilities as a new customer acquisition specialist? Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, of course. As the name states, basically I'm trying to get new customers in for Sartorius and generating business with accounts where there hasn't been any business done from Sartorius side. I'm focusing on, so to speak, the biotech startups.
Mm-hmm.
And in that area, I'll try to find out which kind of startups and spin-offs are the most potent ones in regards to their pipeline, their current drug development, which kind of modality they're working on, and also their funding, how connected they are, and their growth potential.
Mm-hmm.
And after I've done an a segment analysis on my territory, I'll try to connect in any certain way possible. And a big help with that are my academy students that I work closely with.
Hello.
And one of them is Aya. And I feel like this is also a huge benefit that you are in a quite young team, which is, in my area, very motivated and energetic, and that gives a nice drive and also, has a lot of change and surprises come up.
Well, thank you for that. It's very nice to be a part of your team in a sense. This is us getting into the nitty-gritties, and we would love to know a little about a typical day in your role. So what are the key activities you engage in? Would you be able to give us a day in the life of Philip?
Of course. First of all, I wake up. I'll try to have a routine and wake up as early as possible. This is not always possible when you have customer meetings or like business trips, but I'll try to start off my day with a nice cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get ready for the office. My first task in the office is always checking my emails to see if, as I said earlier, some high-value prospects or potent prospects have answered my emails, and I'll try to get back to them as quickly as possible. After that, I'll try to work through my Salesforce if I have received any new MQLs, which are marketing qualified leads. Basically, those are the information that we get when customers visit our website and click on certain products. Then I will try to answer that as well. And after I've done that, I'll try to see if any customers need an answer in regards to like certain products or the quotations that they have received. Yeah, schedule meetings, follow-ups, and yeah, align also internally with my team for certain projects, like if I come to a certain region to like to plan a business trip or events, which are modality driven. Those are like my key targets that I try to get done as early as possible in the day. And after I've done all the important tasks, I'll try to see if any customers haven't responded on certain quotations, and I'll try to follow that one up. And also I keep mapping my territory, which basically means that I'll try to look at certain accounts and companies that are in my area, which are like, well, like I'll try to map them in regards to like the amount of funding they've received, the modality and how big they are. And yeah, basically those are like my key points that I'll do during the day.
And it doesn't seem like one day is the same as the other. It's quite dynamic, right? Do you enjoy that aspect of your job?
Yeah, like every day is different. And this is really important for me, because if every day would be the same for me, I would get bored and I would lose interest. But thanks to the very dynamic workflow, I would say, and the young team, and also the territory that I work for, and also like every account that you engage and talk to is always different. And thanks to the huge portfolio we have at Sartorius, it is always somehow a new product or a new technology or a new workflow or a new process that the customer has, where some kind of combinations from our products could get into. This is always really, really interesting and new. And also the process that you develop with the customer is always different than the other, like the last one. So I would say, yeah, this is like, it's very important. Also it keeps you on your toes, and you learn every day.
Of course. Speaking of keeping you on your toes, do you face any challenges, you know, when it comes to acquiring new customers? And if you do, then how do you overcome them?
That is a very good question. yeah, like sales wouldn't be a normal job if there wouldn't be any hurdles along the way. I guess the biggest problem that I encounter nowadays is that reaching out to customers online is quite tricky, because after COVID or during COVID, like everything went online and customers got spammed and flooded with emails, invitations and stuff like that. So it's really difficult to stand out as a sales rep and convince the customer that what you're offering is quite unique and really helps them. So I would say this is the biggest hurdle or struggle that I'm currently facing, but there are workarounds. For example, like if you go to events and on-site visits and meet them at networking events and establish a very nice and firm personal connection, which is almost like on the friendly side.
That's nice. And do you have any tools in your toolkit that you resort to quite often to help you with your, you know, with these issues that you face?
Yes, for example, first, I think the biggest tool is LinkedIn Premium and Global Data. Global Data helps me to scout and actually look at the customer's pipeline and funding. And LinkedIn Premium helps me to reach out to customers and prospects at certain accounts that I want to approach. But here again, a lot of people use that tool, LinkedIn Premium. So again, it's difficult that they find time to answer you. But I think other than that, the biggest tools are networking events, like modality specific networking events.
What do you mean by modality specific networking events? Could you give us an example maybe?
For example, if there's a like an event or a conference about mRNA, and you go to that conference, you are able to meet up with a lot of persons from that field,
of course,
who is specialized in mRNA technologies. Mm-hmm. And on those events, you always have like networking opportunities, and it's really good to connect. And you know that people who attend those conferences and events are most likely interested in mRNA. And for example, one focus of Sartorius currently, or like of the campaigns from Sartorius, is currently mRNA, mm-hmm. or like the mRNA technologies. And so this is like a really, really good way to connect and also see if people are interested in the stuff that we offer.
Well, that's, I think, so it's more of like an elimination process to who's the target customer and how can I be of utmost help in that situation. So,
yes.
Okay, that yeah, sounds great.
Yeah, because it's always tricky, because when you're on site and on an event, you have very limited time to source out your targets and if they are viable or not. And yeah, this has to be done like in a couple of minutes.
Or beforehand, right?
Yeah, beforehand. But like when you're on site, you meet new people that you weren't like expecting to show up. It's always like you need to have a quick mind with that to decide. But the best thing is just talk to everyone and they'll figure it out.
Oh, wow. Well, if can you, I mean, you seem to, for someone in this position, you seem to know a lot about it, and that comes out of experience, right? I mean, you weren't born innately with this, with these set of skills, and it would be really nice to know if you have any memorable experiences or success stories from this position that have stood out to you. Is there anything you can maybe share with us?
Of course. Well, first of all, to the fact that I wasn't born into this, I would say at the beginning of my life, I was quite shy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I really liked talking to people, but I never knew how to make the connection. Mm. And I also liked the challenge. And over the course of the time, well, the years, when the opportunity presented to me with the sales job, I was like, this isn't what I would normally go for, but I like the challenge and, you know, I want to improve myself. And you can only improve if you have a good challenge ahead. And yeah, over the time and being in sales, like in the sales student job and now the new customer acquisition position, you do learn a lot how to talk to people, how to engage with them, what they would like to hear and what they don't. And yeah, it comes from experience, and that experience can only be acquired by being proactive and being in the field in a way and actually meeting with people. Mm-hmm. And to the second point of success stories, I like to pick one out, which is about a certain technology called the Streamlink CC15. Mm-hmm. Because we got in contact with a company called Alchemap in Cambridge.
Yeah.
And what they were interested in was a kind of like a purification device or capture device, which we offered. And we only got in contact with them because at the facility they were working, there was an Ember 15 installed. Mm. And the Ember 15 is a good combination device for the Streamlink. And so we approached them and we kind of got to a meeting with them. And they were talking about their process and they seemed quite interested in the Streamlink. And I managed to get them on site for a demo in Royston. And with that, because like in an online meeting, they only shared the most necessary information as like needed.
Of course.
But on the on-site event, we had like very huge and deep talks on their process and what they're looking for and how they want to develop. And with that knowledge, we were able to secure them a Streamlink demo and also some other side technologies like a RapidA and maybe even prospect for like CLD in the future. So,
oh my god.
Because, and yeah, one point I like to present that because like out of one prospect, you can get so much information and value if you have those one-on-one meetings, like in person, because they are able to share way more information than an online meeting.
Okay.
And yeah, maybe on a side note as well, in regards to the Academia team, when I was on tour with my other Academia student, Omar, Mata, we were able to talk to a very good friend in a way nowadays, because we met him 1 year ago at the networking event and been in contact ever since. And during their talks, we identified the need of an IQ system, which is an LPS system. And just recently, we managed to sell them an IQ system from LPS, which is also quite expensive.
Nice. And
I like this example as well, because it highlights, or like it showcases, the connection between Academia sales, new customer acquisition, and the BPS LPS side, how everything works together and actually securing a win of like a mid six figure system.
Of course. I think, we're sitting at, like, we serve as a linchpin between BPS and LPS. So you guys do the magic and we're the connectors in a way.
Yes, it's because you also cover the LPS side,
yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing these experiences / success stories. It's quite exciting, especially for someone that was looking to, you know, take on a similar position to yours. It would be quite nice to know. So, you know, the biotech industry is constantly evolving. How do you manage to stay up to date with industry trends and developments? And are there any specific resources or strategies that you find helpful?
Yeah, this is a tricky one because like the biotech world is so ever changing and fast.
It really is.
I feel like certain newsletters are quite interesting, and also just following the right people on LinkedIn gives you an advantage, but also having great colleagues like Martin Smythe, who always provides you with the new startup that just got funding. And I always wonder where he gets that information from, but it's mind-boggling. But he always is up to date and has the best news available for his territory. So yeah, I guess it's a combination out of newsletters, LinkedIn, and great colleagues who are always one step ahead of you when they are like in regards to information.
Martin always has us covered. So for all you listeners, Martin is he's practically, would you like to introduce his role and what it entails, Philip?
Yeah, what he does is his job description is a platform development specialist, and he is a good colleague, but also we work closely together. But because like when we're looking at new customers, they have an unknown process for Sartorius and an undeveloped process as well, because they have a process idea which is also maybe set up, but it might not run the most efficient way as possible. And Martin, with his great experience and knowledge, he's able to look at the process and determine like where it needs improvement, where Sartorius product could come in handy, and also the capabilities of every BPS product we offer. So this is, I think, a very great combination of like NCAS and PDS and also Academias to scout out high value startups, gold nuggets even, and then have a meeting and sit down with Martin, the PDS, and talk about their process, their potential opportunities to develop their process even further and to make it more efficient. And the great way is that he can consult the startups and get very good insights and knowledge for free, because we can also give experience in that way for the startups, which is quite important.
Of course. He has a fantastic role, and he's great. He's great. He makes sure to keep us all up to date as well. I hope to be able to have him here on the show. That would be incredible. Since this episode is dedicated to you and NCAS, before we end this, because I'm taking so much of your time, it would be great to know, what role do you play in driving Sartorius's overall growth and success?
That is also an interesting question, because what we are basically doing is we are generating sales opportunities where there hasn't been any activity for Sartorius. So we scout high value targets and trying to develop a sale with those companies, and actually developing that far that we can hand them over to our colleagues with an established process at the startup. And the ideal target is that we have a process established, for example, like with the help of Martin, at the customer, that they will constantly come back to us because we did a great job and the technologies they've implemented and bought are superior and actually saved them time and money. And with that, we generated, first of all, like the first sale, which is good for Sartorius, but also a continuous sale product, which is a very important factor. And so,
of course.
So to make it short, is we try to generate sales and sales revenue where there hasn't been any.
And if do you think how different would Sartorius be without you?
Well, that's a good question. The role is quite new, so I don't think there would be a huge difference. But for future development, I think if the role wouldn't exist, then I guess we would definitely lose some market share. But like the percentage wise isn't huge, but I think we would definitely lose some market share in regards to like new startups and new spin-offs to that, yeah.
I think you hold way more value than you ought to think you do, because well, if I was to speak for myself as an academic sales rep, you were the one to teach me everything from scratch when it comes to being on site and being the boots on the ground. No, I don't think we would be able to do this without you. So, and you do give us a lot of hard-won lessons and, you know, invaluable advice that I hope no one should ever take for granted, and neither should you. So thank you.
I appreciate those warm words, Anya.
I will let you be. But before we do you have anything you'd like to share with the listeners before we head out?
That's a good one. Always give 110%, because you never know what's around the next corner. If it's a new project, a new customer, a new sale. And if you only give 80 to 90% and wait for what's coming to you, you might miss out on great opportunities. So always stay hungry and yeah, give 110%.
Definitely. 110% from our NCAS Philip. Thank you for being with us on the show. It was lovely having you here.
Thank you for having me and giving a platform. Thank you.
Thank you.